on financial fitness. And this is the fifth study, the last study in financial fitness, and hopefully we learn something. And if I asked you for one thing, what is that one thing that you that stuck in your mind of this study that we have? Anybody? Just one thing. Because this is the 5 weeks that we studied. And if there's one thing that really stuck out on your mind, on your heart, and what is that one thing? God what? Owns it all. See? That's the only thing that really stuck out in our mind is that God owns it all. We don't own what we have. God has given us the things that we have, the life that we have, the job that we have, the house that we have, the money that we have. It was given to us to manage it. We don't own it. God gave us to manage his money. That one day, he's going to take us from us. When you die, you're not going to bring that to heaven. Amen? He's going to give that again to another person. And he will give that so that that person could prove how good a manager he is. Amen? So that's one thing that I just want to, just one thing. If you have that one thing in what we learn from our study, man, you have it all. Amen? So this morning, as I conclude the study that we have, and I look at the statistics that banks are like in 2014, there's about 29 banks close to be filled. They owe somebody that they don't have enough money to pay for their creditors. In 2014, there's about 29 banks. Imagine that. 29 banks close their office, their business, because they fail. And in 2015, starting January, do you know how many banks close? 7. It's almost one bank close every month. Does it say something? That our investment here on earth is not really guaranteed, right? So the title of my message this morning is How to Invest. Where's best to invest your money? You might say this morning, Pastor Ed, what money are you talking about? We don't have money. And that's why we started 5 weeks ago. Remember what we have studied? God give us, you know, remember the three servants that he has? He gave each one a number amount of money. And each one has a proportionate, and each one came back and make a report. And the same thing with us. God is giving us a certain amount of money. And if you are driving a car, if you have a coins in your pocket, or maybe when you go, there's a coffee, empty coffee can underneath the sink, where you put all your coins when you go home. Remember, when you go home, there's so much loose change, and then you put it there. If you have that, you're considered as the top 5% of rich people in the whole world. And America Americans are on that top 5. So you are rich. So that you, that means you have money to invest.
Amen. And this morning, God or Jesus Christ
is an expert. He knows where to invest your money. He talking
so many promises in the Bible about banking. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6. That's the investment, okay? Those are the
mutual funds. These are the investment company. There's a Pinoy investor. I don't know who owns that. Okay, so these are the different types. There's thousands of investment company,
mutual funds and investment funds. And the whole world has plenty of that. But Jesus Christ, he has a lot of things that we can see about investment this morning. So I want you to turn your Bible with me on Matthew chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount. The title of our message this morning, Where's Best to Invest? Jesus Christ said in verse 19, Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice what Jesus Christ is saying, that you can store up treasure in heaven. What in the world does it mean? Store up treasure in heaven. And how do you invest in eternity? How do you invest to forever? How do you store up treasures in heaven? This is very important message, because the concept, the praise, it says, store up treasures in heaven, is mentioned 5 times in the scripture. He says, notice the phrase, store up yourself treasures in heaven. So let me give you a little tip. Anytime God says something, when God says 5 times, he is saying to you and me that we should fully aware of those things. God is saying, I don't want you to miss this. God wants you to know how to store up treasures in heaven. He said, you can actually make a deposit in the bank for eternity. He's saying, notice the phrase, store up yourself. I want you to underline, if you have your Bible with you, I want you to underline the word, store up yourself. Underscore that. Because he's not talking about storing up for God. He's not talking about storing up for the angels. He is not talking about storing up for Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you can have a personal bank account in heaven. You can store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And the most important thing is that he said that 5 times in the scriptures. That means we really have to pay attention when we talk about storing up treasures in heaven. Now, what is he saying is that I will enjoy forever what I invest in heaven. So, God, Jesus Christ is saying that I will enjoy forever for whatever I invest in heaven. What I invest in heaven, I will enjoy forever, right? That's what exactly what he's saying in this Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. The Bible said that you can store up treasures in heaven. And how do I do that? Well, we begin with 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, tell those who are rich. That's it. You turn to the next person, you are rich. Yeah, you are rich. Still tell him. Remind him that you are rich. Tell those who are rich. But let me stop it here. Because anybody, I mentioned that anybody that are here in the United States, you are rich. Amen? To tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Did you notice that? It says, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for enjoyment. Are you, brothers and sisters, enjoyment? Do you enjoy your life? Amen. Do you guys enjoy your life? It says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give generously to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. Tell them to use their money to do good. In other words, that when I use money to do good, I'm investing in heaven. Every time I use my money for good. So, every time I use my money for good, I am investing my money in heaven. Are you following me? Right? Tell them to use their money to do good and should give generously to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. I invest in heaven every time I use money for good. Right? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the same Timothy, in 18b, it says, they should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. And then it says in verse 19, by doing this, notice that, by doing this, when you're doing good, by doing this, they will be storing up. See the continuation of that phrase? That when I share with others whatever God has given me, so whatever I'm doing that, is they will be storing up real treasure. Right? Is that if I'm doing good work, by doing this, I will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. Right? Are you with me? Yes? And the only safe investment for eternity. Think about that, Paul. Paul is an investor. He's a banker. And it looks like he's talking today. Investment. Talking about the Bible. He's talking about investment. Investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Can you imagine that? We are investing, you and I investing in heaven, but then at the same time, you're living a fruitful life here. It's a double yummy. You're investing in heaven, and then you're enjoying a fruitful life here. When you're doing good, when you're giving, sharing your money that you earn to those who are in need. You are storing up real treasure in heaven. Can you follow that through? Amen. So I'm gonna enjoy forever what I invest in heaven, right? But the Bible gives us a number of ways how to invest or where to invest the money that I earn. The first one is that God's five investment fund is that, number one, God has a growth fund. He has a growth fund. In God's growth fund is that anytime I invest my money, that which is a kind of grow my character. See, when I spend money so that it will grow my character, that's what they call growth fund, God's growth fund. When I invest in eternity, I'm investing eternity every time I use my money to grow my character. Are you with me? Look at Proverbs 10:16. It says there. Proverbs 10:16 says, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. In other words, it says, wise people, godly people, use their money to make their lives better, to enhance their life. I want you to underline the word enhance in your Bible, because that's very important. See, godly people, wise people, they use money to make their lives better, to enhance their lives. And how do I enhance my life? With money. See, well, use it to grow spiritually. Use it to grow intellectually. Use it to grow emotionally. When I use money to develop my skill, so that I can grow, I use the skill. When I use money to become mature, when I use money to improve myself, the Bible says that I'm storing treasures in heaven. I'm investing in eternity. Amen? And we would like to spend money for comfort. I would like to spend money for that, this bed that they put a number and you can lie down comfortably. Right? How many of you? No, I'm not going to ask if you own one, but how many of you have seen that one? Man, that's comfort. Man, I like that one. You know that goes up your knees. You don't have to put pillow here. That's comfort. But God is saying that if you spend money to make yourself grow, make yourself mature or improve yourself, that's what God wants you to invest. When you do that, you're investing your money to eternity. In Luke chapter 2, 50, verse 52, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So, wisdom and stature. Those are the four areas that Jesus Christ grew in wisdom, in stature, and favor with God, and favor with men. Those are the four areas that God wants you and me to grow. Amen? Let me give you another version of Proverbs 16, verse 16. In Good News Translation, it is better, much better, to have wisdom and knowledge than gold and silver. Which you rather have? a wisdom, or you want gold or silver? See, the Proverbs, it says that. It's better, much better, to have wisdom and knowledge than gold and silver. Amen? In other words, it's better for you to take the money, put it something else that will grow than just that the money sitting around and doing nothing. Amen? So first of all, the five investment fund of God is that growth fund. God has a growth fund for you and me. Investing your money to eternity in making yourself or enhancing yourself or developing your skill. Develop your skill and your maturity so that you can serve. And that's going to be in God's growth fund. The second investment fund of God is God has a mutual fund. Did you know that? That not only that God has a growth fund, He also has a mutual fund. I can invest eternity by using money to encourage fellowship. Encouraging fellowship when I use money to draw us close together. The Bible calls that investing in God's mutual fund. Look at in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love one another with mutual affection. So, we are to love one another that way. Amen? In God's mutual fund is to encourage fellowship, encourage coming together. When we come to as a home Bible study, when we encourage fellowship to one another. In Romans 12, verse 13, it says, do we have that verb? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Hospitality. Romans 12, 13. See? When we come together, the money that we spend for a home cell group is that you can see God consider that as investing treasure in heaven. Amen. Storing up your bank in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, I like this one too. Think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. Think about that. He says, make some creative ideas, innovative ideas. Put some thought about it. When you come together, when you fellowship together, think of something. Be practical and innovative and give some ideas how we come together. Like Sister Beth last Wednesday. You see, you know what? Why don't we come together as a church at the end of this month so that we can come together? See, he has that innovative ideas how to stir up brothers and sisters to fellowship together. And we bring some food, and the money that you spend for that coming together, or when you open your house for a Bible study, for a cell group, and you spend a large roasted pig for your home cell group, you know, God considers that investing in heaven. Amen? Whatever you spend for stirring up the heart of the people to come together and fellowship together so that they may have a mutual care for one another, that's God saying, you're stirring up treasures in heaven. When you buy a birthday card or a cake so that they can come together in their birthday, God is saying, that's stirring up your treasure in heaven. Amen? You don't have to buy the
is not a medium-sized lichen or lads.
Just a little thing, just a cake, and then a punch, and then you gather all together, or even a cup of coffee, Sister Mike, a cup of coffee, and you stir up together. So there's a mutual fellowship, this mutual love that exists between the people of God. Amen. You're investing on the mutual fund of God. Amen. See, there is a reason why. There's a reason why God put you in a house with a three-bedroom house and a large a living room so that you can invite somebody there. And we have come together and have a mutual love with one another. Right, Greg?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So, invest those things. If it's not in the growth fund, to encourage
yourself to grow and increase your skill, there is a mutual fund that God is available for us,
that God has given to us where we can invest. Amen? When you take your brother or sister for a dinner, when you help a small group of friends financially, when you pay for their rent, because they cannot pay their rent,
encourage one another. You're investing treasure in heaven. But at the same time, you're enduring a fruitful life while you're on earth.
Amen. So why shall I do that? Why shall I encourage
close fellowship or coming together?
Why do I have to do this mutual fund? Why do I have to encourage fellowship? Did you ever ask that one? Why do we have to do that, Pastor Ed? Number one, because when I do that,
when I bring my brothers and sisters come together to encourage and fellowship,
first, the reason why, it's because it proves that I am in God's family. That I belong to God's family. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. You can just put a mark in there in your note. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. This is, this service you do not only help the needs of God's people, it also brings many more thanks to God. See, not only that you're bringing people, that you're bringing your brother and sister to have a fellowship in your house, but also it gives more thanks to God. It is a proof of your faith. That's why you gather people. That's why you open up your house so that they can come together. Because it gives many more thanks to God. It is a proof of your faith. It is a proof that you are indeed the son and daughter of God. Right? Why are you so quiet? You still okay? Many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Christ. The gospel you say you believe, and because you freely share with them with all others. See, when you do that, that means your faith that is dead, it becomes alive. Amen. Amen. So the three reasons why God wants me to use my money to show love to other believers, because it proves I'm in God's family. Number two, it creates unity. It creates unity when we show our love to other people and to use money to show love to other people. It creates, not only that it proves that I am in God's family, number two, it creates unity, and number three, it witnesses to unbelievers. It witnesses to unbelievers. Amen? Every time you use your money to show love to other people, other believers, notice that the Bible says in 3 John 1:5 says, "Dear friend, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers, you make the faith visible the invisible faith becomes visible in the world. See,
when you encourage, when you extend that hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, not only to strangers, but it makes your faith visible. Then you can see that your faith is working, that your faith is visible, that your faith is alive. That's why we can use money to show love to other people. Okay?
So, number one, God's financial plan is investment plan is that we have the God's growth fund. Number two is that we have mutual fund. Number three, we have God's service fund. If I invest my money, we are showing to serve other people. That's a service fund. Every time I use money to serve others, I'm investing in the Bible called God's service fund. God wants to take some of the money that I make and use it to help who are in need. The Bible calls it giving. The kind of giving is a ministry giving or service giving, making the needs in Jesus' name, making the needs financially or emotionally or physically or any way possible. Look at in verse 11 or chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Look at that again.
The word invest. It's a wording word, right? But it's right there. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high return. Look at that. It yields high return. The charity that we give. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last time. Yeah, I like this phrase better. Because nobody knows. That's why he said, be generous. Because you'll never know, Greg. You'll never know whether this is going to be my last night. Is that give while you're living so that you know it, your money is going. See, when you're alive, you know where your money is going. But when you're dead, and nobody knows, this might be your last night. Amen? That's why service.
Be generous, invest in acts of charity. This could be your last night. Amen. Brothers and sisters, opportunities for serving are all around us. Wherever, all we have to do is look around. Because the opportunity to serve God is always available to all of us. Amen. In fact, James tells us in James chapter 2 verse 15, says, suppose you see brother or sister who needs food or clothing, or you say, well, goodbye and God bless you, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? So you see, it's not enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is a dead and useless. That shows, that's a test of our faith. Amen. For some of you, probably you don't know about the orphanage that we support in the Philippines.
We have this 49 homeless, fatherless kids that we've been supporting for the past 7 years, I believe.
And we support a family a pastors, the husband and wife pastoring about 11 churches in Dagupan, Baguio, in Iloilo. And we support them. And I believe that's a demonstration of our faith that is alive. Amen? And God put so many, many promises in the scripture. And let me read some of it. Proverbs 11:24. Do we have that there? Proverbs 11:24. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. See? In other words, the more you help others, the more God bless you. Why? Because God wants you to be like Him. Just like father like son, or like father like daughter. God wants you to be like Him. Proverbs 28:27. We don't have that there. It says, give to the poor and you will never be in need. If you close your eyes to the poor, many people will curse you. In Proverbs 19:17, that today's English version, when you give to the poor, it is like lending to the Lord. And the Lord will pay you back. Wow. The Lord will pay you back. That's an amazing promise in its investment, investing eternity. The fourth God's investment fund is that God's global fund. See, I can invest in eternity every time I use money to bring people to Him, to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's a global fund. When I use money to bring people to Jesus Christ, to spread the good news, to give out Bibles to other people, to other nations, to give out Christian tapes or CDs or DVDs, I am investing in a global fund. And God says that is storing treasure in heaven. In Luke 16:9, it says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that going to heaven? When you're going to heaven, people will come to you in heaven. Pastor B, thank you for that Bible that was given to me by ICNC. I received the Lord through them. Can you imagine that going to heaven? You're walking someday in heaven, and then somebody will approach you. Hey, great, thank you for giving your support to the church. The church in Loma Linda, I got saved there through their ministry. Man, that's you cannot imagine that people will talk to you and say, you know what, because of what you do, because you support that ministry, in what I become, I receive the Lord. That's what God is saying. God's global fund. You're investing in God's global fund when you bring people to Him. Amen? Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome in eternal dwellings. Amen? In 3 John 1:8, do we have the herb? We must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the truth. You know what? A lot of us, probably most of us, could not go to mission trip, right? Because we are busy making money. And the Bible says in John, it says that we must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the truth. And that's why we support those family in the Philippines. Because we cannot go out there. We cannot go there in the field and do our mission trip. But if we support them,
who in return they were spreading the gospel in that area. So John is saying that if you support them, you are contributing to the global fund of God's economy. Right? Amen?
Amen.
We don't have time to go out there. But if you support, then we are investing our money for eternity. Amen? You're investing in the global fund of God.
Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, you will honor God through this genuine act of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Christ and because of your generosity in sharing. See? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. And lastly, first, we have the what? The growth fund. Right? Right? Are you with me? And number two, you have mutual fund. Number three, service fund. Number four, global fund. And lastly, number five is God's treasury fund. I can invest in eternity by using money to worship God. The treasury fund is this. I invest in eternity every time I use money to worship God. When I use money as an act of worship, that's called the treasury fund. And I believe we look at this verse last week, Proverbs chapter 9, chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns and overflow your wine vats. So there's that promise. God is saying, you give me, and I will give you too. And let's see who will win. See? You know that giving is 10% of your income. We called it what? Tithes. When you give your 10% to God, it's called tithes. Anything given above the tithes is called what? Offering. Anything that's above 10%, that's offering. And the Bible says that you, when you bring your tithes and offering to the Lord, when you do that, you are investing to the treasury fund of the Lord. Amen? You cannot really give God or anything because he really does own everything. Right? He owns everything. And it is his in the first place. It's just like
my mom, when I was a little boy, he gave me some allowance. $0.05 for the litchi konilo, you know, those ice, and put some milk and water and put some coloring. The cup is like that. That allowance, I keep it. And then when she had her birthday, I give her a card. So in the first place, it's hers. Right? It's hers. But the important there is the cup. It's being remembering that he is the giver, that she's the giver. And he gave me the allowance. You know what? I didn't even remember that Mexico yellow or that ice with the coconut sugar, right? We don't have a real milk in there. It's a coconut milk. But you know what? I didn't even remember what happened to that. But you know what? That car that I gave to her, she didn't make her help. See, in the first place, that's her. That's not my mind. But that's what happened when we bring our tithes and offering to the Lord.
Because that's his. Amen? We cannot really give God of anything because he really owns it all. Amen? And this is why God wants us to give an offering to him. Because where our money goes, that's where our heart is. Amen? I don't care about McDonald, but if I want to care about him, I will go buy some of the stocks that they have. Because when the moment I buy their stocks, I start caring for McDonald. Right? Do you know why? Because I have stocks with them. Because that's where the money that I put in. So every morning I look at the screen, you know, this little tiny thing at the bottom of the screen where the stocks, the shares that have been sold. I look at those things because I have the stocks in McDonald's. Because that's where I invested. I'm paying attention. Where I put my money shows my priorities. It shows my values. Right? So here's my question. Here's my question to you this morning. Where is your heart today? What are your values? Where are your priorities today? Regardless what you say is important, there are two things that shows what is your important, what are the important things for you. Two things. Look at your checkbook or your bank statement and look at your schedule, your calendar plan. Those are the two things where your heart is. Because the way you spend your times and the way you spend your money shows what you worship. You worship God, that's where money goes in there. If you worship something else, that's where your money goes there. That's why if you look up two sources, that shows where your heart is. Amen? Because the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money shows what you worship. It shows what you value most. It shows the most important things in your life. The Bible says wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. Amen? So my question to you is, where do you want your heart to be this morning? If you want your heart to be with God, then one of the things that you do is to invest your tithes and offering to the Lord. In Job chapter 22, verse 24 to 25, it says, give up your lust for money. The Almighty Himself will be your treasure. See? Those are the two things. Give up your lust for money. The Almighty Himself will be your treasure. So let me close this. Imagine at the end of September, if we can still live in September 30, at the end of September, dollar is not a medium of exchange anymore. Think about that. September 30, dollar. What are you going to think you're going to do? You're going to do some conversion, right? You convert your dollar. Because at October 1st, dollar is not a medium of exchange. So you're going to convert your dollar, right? To denarii. And it reminds me about the story about this guy. He died, went to heaven,
Because whatever you invest here on earth, material things, every day, every month, you're going farther from that material thing. And you are getting closer to investment that you have in heaven. Right? So you need to think about it. Because that is going to happen. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Shall we stand? Can we ask the worship team? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the series of study that you have given to us regarding the finances, financial fitness, Lord. Your desire, Lord, is that we have a stability, Lord, with our finances, Father God. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all this teaching, these lessons, Lord. And I know we cannot remember everything, Lord. But Father, we thank you that even for one thing that we can, we can retain, Lord, that everything that we have, Lord, is all yours, Father God. Even the breath that we take, Lord Jesus, the work, the physical, the emotional, Lord, the spiritual, Lord, of our life, it all comes from you, Lord. You give it all, Lord Jesus. You give it to us to manage it, Lord. And thank you for helping us. Helping my brothers and sisters, Lord. Because your desire, Lord, your desire to each one of us, Lord, is to be just like you, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to seal this teaching, Lord. And that to recall, Lord, to come into our remembrance everything that we learned from that teaching, Lord. And Father, we thank you for everyone, Lord, that are faithful to you, Lord Jesus. And Father, your desire, Lord, your desire to each one of us, Lord, is to enjoy the life that you have given to us here in this earth. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, today. Thank you for bringing us, Lord. Thank you for the words, the scriptures, the promises that you have given to us. Thank you that you never change, Lord Jesus. And Father, as we bring our tithes and offering to you, Lord, that it will not be a hindrance, Lord. There will not be a burdensome, Lord, but only to show you that you are the first in our life, that we worship you, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, for blessing each person, Lord, each family that they are representing, Lord God. Overflowing, Lord, that their barns were overflows, Lord, overflow, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.